B-Pod Studios.
Farsetta in the morning. B75, The Fanatic.
I miss this song. I feel like the last 3.5-4 months of our lives didn't happen listening to this song. That's what I feel like. I feel like 2020, it's been fine. That's what it feels like listening to this song. It feels like it just fast forwarded through the last 4 months and we're right to back to basketball season. Because today is a little date entitled July 7th. It's the 7th of July. 6th of July. 7th month of the year, 6th day of that month, 7-6 day. 76ers are our team. We celebrate the 76ers today. And guess when we do it? Officially. Beginning at 7 o'clock. And guess when we go
How about that?
Happy belated birthday, Tom McCarthy, by the way. And then we will celebrate until about 6 p.m. tonight. From 7 a.m. to 6 p.m. tonight on 7-6 day, we celebrate the 76ers from 7 a.m. to 6 p.m. Does that make sense, Bob?
Yeah, it works perfectly for me.
And Pat Egan's like, I got to play the song. And I'm like, you go ahead, you play that song, because it's a lovely song. And to help us celebrate the 76ers even further, guess who's back with us today, Bobby?
Who's that, Mark?
The one and only Crystal Rich.
I can't see her because Egan has all the lights out in the studio over there, and I feel sorry for her.
Crystal, are you okay? Blink twice. I can't see it if you do, but blink twice if you're okay.
I don't know what's going on. First, before the show, I couldn't talk to you guys, and now you probably can't see me.
I can't see a thing. I hate it.
I'm still breathing, still live, hyper, 76th day. Good to be back, guys.
Now, you are wearing a 76ers t-shirt.
That I am. I have a million.
I am wearing a 76ers t-shirt. I wish this was the logo, the Ben Franklin, the ballin' Ben, as I like to call it.
I love that one.
Isn't that great?
I think I have a very similar.
Okay.
I have several similar, actually. Let's be honest.
So shirts.
Yes.
Okay. All right. And Bob's got his Sixer red on, and Pat Egan's wearing a Phillies.
Bob doesn't wear jerseys.
Pat Egan fella's wearing a Phillies t-shirt. What the hell, bro?
Go Phillies.
Baseball
season's coming back.
It's a fine rebuttal by you, I assume. But we got a full slate of some 76ers conversation going on today. Beginning, of course, at 7 o'clock. We're going to introduce some different topics. Our poll questions today, brought to you by Window Nation, will be presented to you in a 76ers fashion. A lot of it has to do with overhype, underhype type things, like Ben Simmons' jump shot, Joel Embiid's ability to be in shape, and whether or not you have confidence the Sixers process will bear a championship. That doesn't mean this year. Could be next year. Mm. Could be the year, not only that year. Mm. But I'm just saying is all. Are you confident that the process will bear a championship? We got all that on the docket today. 7:30, we're going to talk to our own Devon Givens. 7:30 today. Then at 8 o'clock, top of that hour, Aaron McKee, former Sixth Man of the Year, head coach of my beloved Temple Owls, and all-around great 76er will be on with us at 8 o'clock today to discuss all things Temple Owls and 76ers. And we're going to ask pretty much every former athlete this question. What would it take to make you feel comfortable to play in today's game?
Yeah.
Because it seems like in the baseball world, wasn't a good weekend for them. Was not a good weekend
for the baseball. Why are you taking joy in that?
I'm trying to not lose my mind is
okay.
What I'm doing.
All right.
If I approach it in a lighthearted manner, it will make me not, I would say rip
it's my only to hide your depression.
Yeah, rip the hair out of my beard, not my head.
Okay, yeah.
My beard. Okay, all right. So that's the guy's approach in a lighthearted manner. 9 o'clock, we'll be joined by our own D. Lynam. She'll be talking some hoops with us. And then from Bob Cooney, from one Bob to another, from one Bobby to another, Bobby Jones joins us at 9:30 today.
Hall of Famer.
The Hall of Famer, Bobby Jones. First ever Sixth Man of the Year award winner. You know what I didn't realize?
So we'll have 2 6 Men of the Year winners, award winners on today.
How about
Aaron McKee and Bobby Jones?
That's right. We will. Here's the thing. Bobby Jones, I didn't realize. I knew he was asked to come off the bench a year after he had been named an All-Star. He was an all-star, and then next year he was like, hey, would you mind coming off the bench? And he did it, right? And I think Charles Barkley even was inspired to give the quote, if the world was full of Bobby Jones, we won't have no problems. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
So and I think that's a great quote. But I didn't realize that he was also traded after being, I believe, a three-time all-star in Denver. So it's like, hey, you're an all-star, we're trading you.
Yeah, it wasn't a good thing for him to become an all-star, right? You're an all-star, go to the bench.
It was a curse. It was an all-star. Hey, you're an all-star three times over. You're traded. Hey, you're an all-star, go to the bench. And he did it, and he worked his way into the Hall of Fame with that attitude. So I tie it in with this. Al Horford, pretty damn good basketball career, no?
Yeah.
He's being asked to come off the bench. What's it like? And a lot of these guys are going to have to undergo different mindsets, right? If this team's going to have success, right? They're going to have the right mindset. I'll say that. We're going to ask Bobby Jones, what does it take to change that mindset? Like, okay, this is how I help the team best as a starter. Oh, I'm an all-star. Look at me. To, hey, you're going to come off the bench because that's the best way to help this team.
Yeah.
What does it take for a player to think in a different way? Like, oh, this is the best way I can help the team by not being what I think is the best version of myself. Because the best version of myself is I'm a starter. I'm out there from the get-go. And now I got to change gears and think of it as a more reserve role. And man, for a guy to be a reserve, he was not a bad reserve to have.
No, and it became like a popular thing in the early 80s where teams were loaded up with superstars, the Lakers, the Sixers. And to start all of them just wasn't a thing. Like, they came up with the idea. L.A. started it. The Sixers followed of, hey, let's bring one of these really good guys off the bench. So the Sixers started Mark Iveroni. And it was just a case of like, okay, get him out of there. You know, as a fan, you're watching. You're like, all right, he played his 3 minutes. Get him out. Get Bobby Jones in there. So Bobby Jones probably averaged, off the top of my head, 26 to 30 minutes a game as a reserve.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, obviously finished every game. Great defensive player. Great, great all-around player. Great teammate. The perfect mix you wanted on a team that had Julius Erving, Moses Malone, Maurice Cheeks, Andrew Toney. You know, they had stars everywhere else. Just the perfect complement. And, I've told you that my favorite Sixer of all time, my favorite player of all time is Maurice Cheeks. Bobby Jones is absolutely, without a doubt, top four.
Oh, wow. All right.
Yeah.
So we got plenty to talk to you with Bobby Jones. And by the way, Mark Iveroni, my dad doesn't like saying this, but he doesn't. I'm not named
That's
after
That's why I
Mark.
Brought him up.
I'm not named after Mark Iveroni, but my name was inspired by Mark Iveroni. With the C.
Yeah.
My dad's like, oh, I like this guy. He had to ask Father Bernardo, though. Father Bernardo at St. Joe's Parish in Ambler.
He had to ask him to name you?
No, he had to ask him. He said, is it okay that we spell our son's name with a C? And Father Bernardo said, there's no K in the Italian language. You name him with a C. Boom, just like that.
Oh, that's what it was.
And here I am. And Mark Iveroni. There you go.
Yeah.
nonetheless, we got plenty to discuss there. So lots of fun stuff going on today. As we mentioned, 7-6 day, 97.5, the Fanatic helping to celebrate the 76ers on their day on the calendar. NBA insider special guest, like we just mentioned, will be joining the programs throughout the day with Anthony and Mike. Josh Richardson, by the way, will be joining Mike in the afternoon today. You can also win some awesome 76ers autograph prizes every hour starting at 7 o'clock. We will have a Fanatic tent and crew in our West Lobby parking lot handing out 76ers t-shirts to people who simply drive by and ask for one starting at 7 o'clock. West Lobby at One Bala Plaza. We'll have our tailgate crew out there giving away t-shirts to anyone that drives by and asks for one. Simple as that. And also on this day, it is powered by Parks Casino and Sportsbook, the number one casino in Pennsylvania. They are back and open with plenty of space for social distancing. Must be 21. Gambling problem, call 1-800-GAMBLER. Hours for giveaways today. 7:51, Ben Simmons autographed ball, mini size ball right there for you. 8:51, giveaway Tobias Harris autographed ball, regular size ball, by the way, not too bad.
Nice.
And then 8:51 today, Joel Embiid blue signed authentic jersey. How about that? Is that a full day? That's a full day.
It's a good day.
That's a full day. Now,
can't beat it.
Before we go ahead,
question,
yes.
Do guests fill in update anchors get any of these perks?
Oh my God. So many perks.
You get to sit in the dark for 4 hours.
Yeah, you get to hang out with Pat Egan as he tries to talk Phillies with you.
It's not that dark.
That'll be great. Do you like UFC? Yeah, he'll talk UFC with you.
So no Embiid jersey, no signed basketball.
No. Oh, when you're done today, we'll probably say, hey, Chris, good job. Like, that's probably there. Bob, anything else?
Virtual high five, you know, from a distance, one of those.
I wish someone told me this before I woke up at 4 a.m.
Yeah, she's never coming back.
We might exchange an elbow. We might do the elbow thing that everyone does nowadays. We might do that. I'll sign your mask.
I also like the head nod too. Just never went out of style.
I brought in lemon cookies. Does that help?
That actually does help a little bit.
How do you like that? Homemade lemon cookies right here for you, Mark.
Too?
How am I just learning of this?
Uh-huh. Well, you were complaining about agina or indigestion, whatever you call it, you Italians. You Italians. Bringing up food I didn't think was the best idea. Right, Pat? Did you ever hear of a stomach ache as much as you heard about Mark's this morning?
It wasn't so much a stomach ache as it was heartburn and the clogged arteries.
Yeah, I got accosted.
Good. I got accosted at 5 a.m. today about finding a friend with a smoker.
So that's
when I reconsidered my career.
Here's what happened. And Crystal, I know you and Bob Cooney are big into the culinary arts. You guys,
You guys like big time.
You guys like it at cooking, right?
Okay. Yes.
So I go down to visit my brother-in-law who lives just south of Baltimore. And my wife and I, we go down there and visit. You know, he's got a new house on.
Like a local. Baltimore.
Balmer, Maryland?
Yeah. Balmer,
Maryland? Yeah. So we go down there, and I didn't know this, but he's never been like this before, but he just got a smoker like 2 months ago, which I find to be the perfect time to see someone who owns a smoker because they've worked out some kinks, one they're not. Let me tell you something. I don't know how there's any meat left in the world because this guy's like three racks of ribs, one with a mustardy rub sauce deal, whatever the hell that was,
uh-huh.
And then like two racks of just regular barbecue ribs, and burgers, hot dogs, brats, and then what was the other thing? Oh, yeah, taquitos, because why the hell not?
So since we're not getting any 76er swag, did you bring in any leftovers?
There were no leftovers.
Oh,
and he also smoked chicken breasts, which were... I will have heartburn for a week.
You know what? I feel like that's one of my life goals, just to have a smoker. That's all.
Yeah, now my wife wants to get a smoker.
I just bought my grill, and my ribs are so darn good. It's really, it's like 60% about the rub, and the rest how you cook it.
Mm-hmm.
Rub is phenomenal.
Oh, yeah.
Now, do you keep your ribs on the grill the whole time?
So, yeah, I keep my ribs on the grill, and then I take it out. And then I cut them and I put it in the oven.
Okay.
It's a little secret.
See, I do it the opposite way.
You start on the
oven. I rub and I do the oven for like 3 to 4 hours on a real low heat.
Ooh.
Then I take it out and I go to the grill and put it on the hot grill to get the crust on there.
Mm-hmm.
And then you put the sauce on it because you don't want the sauce to burn.
No.
So I put the sauce on it like the last 10 minutes and go that way.
All right. So I do rub and I let it sit for at least 24 hours. I do grill, turn it over a couple times. I do the sauce on top and then I take it out, cut it, and then do oven.
Mm. See that?
Fascinating. That is, I'm learning.
It makes your heart burn worse just thinking about it, doesn't it, Mark?
My version of grilling is like burgers and dogs and like sometimes like salmon. Other than that, I really don't use the grill that much, which I admit is my own fault.
Grilled salmon?
Yeah, grilled salmon.
I didn't even think about doing that until just now.
You got to get a little plank.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, you got to have the plank for the grilled salmon.
That I agree with.
Otherwise, it'll all end up on the bottom of your grill.
Look at us helping each other.
Yes.
Isn't this nice? Look, ribs, what are you talking about? And salmon, look at us helping each other. Pat, how about you? Do you grill?
Yeah, I go to Mission Barbecue.
That's what I thought. All right, so
give me the number 4.
That's what I went down to Ellicott City and enjoyed some time with the family and the in-laws and all that stuff. Bob, is good 4th of July? You enjoy it?
Great, yeah. Went golfing on Saturday. Little poolside afterwards at my brother-in-law's house yesterday. Had a nice day. So, yeah, no complaints.
Look, Crystal, you go down the beach. You enjoy yourself?
Yeah, I had a pre-4th at Cape May. Came back, did my ribs. Cooked some food, cooked some corn, chilled, and saw fireworks in Philly from our rooftop. And let me tell you, North Philly was like lit literally all night. It just did not stop. North and Northeast.
Wow.
Like, it just, no break at all. They were, you know, obviously the city didn't have the official ones, but leave it in the hands of the 215 affiliated, and it felt like a true 4th of July.
We talked about fireworks a couple of weeks ago and how people were a little, hey, take it easy on the fireworks. 4th of July, go have fireworks.
Like, yeah.
If you want to do it, that's fine. But it did make, and we had it again last night in my neighborhood. I think it's now 50 straight days of fireworks. Mm-hmm. And there's only one 4th of July, so you do the math. But people are just going crazy with the fireworks.
But it's all right. It's over now. We set the rule.
That's right.
We set the rule. Midnight last night, it was over. Mm-hmm. People will abide of what we asked of them. They, you know, calm down on the fireworks. No, I think we're good.
I thought about that. I think that the leading up to it, I think it was just practice. talking about practice?
Yeah, exactly, yeah. That's what people were thinking.
We're talking about practice.
Now we're done. Yeah, I still don't see
I had him going off at 2 a.m. on Friday. 2 a.m.
You were setting them off or you heard them?
No, I heard them.
Oh, okay.
I'm like, you've got to be kidding me. I mean, 2 a.m., go home. Like, there's stuff on Netflix to watch. Go home.
Yeah, I wish more people had that idea, but they don't.
They don't,
unfortunately.
Yeah.
I will say when I was down in Maryland, I did hear them, but it was the 4th of July.
Wait, you heard them from Philly?
People followed you from Philly to Maryland? Heard and saw them. And was there a lot of shore traffic, people coming back? As a non-shore guy, I don't know if I can, like, I'm not authority on shore traffic, but coming, just like driving on 95, I hit no traffic.
Really?
Yeah.
It's funny. I guess maybe a lot of people have off today, too. So we're going down the shore right after the show.
Oh, are you?
Yeah, just to visit, because our son Kyle's down there, and we haven't seen him in a while, so we're going to visit him for the day and just coming back tonight. Now I'm wondering, am I going to run into traffic tonight if a lot of people took off today and they're coming back tonight?
Gotcha.
So
okay.
It might be a back road trip home.
That's a possibility.
Yeah.
That's a big possibility. So we got a lot of conversation, obviously, revolving around the Sixers today. We talked about one thing we tried to establish last week, which was the last day fireworks could be allowed, right? And that was the Bob Cooney rule.
Midnight Saturday. Saturday, I guess?
Midnight. Well, you said
it's midnight last night. Yeah.
So technically, so we got that. We also have another bet we're going to pay off on with Bob Cooney because we had bet the over-under of 18 and a half minutes. How long would Bob Cooney make it into the Netflix hit comedy starring Will Ferrell and Rachel McAdams? How long would he make it into? Would it be over 18 and a half minutes? And Bob watched the movie, tried. Was it more or less than 18 and a half minutes, Crystal? What do you think?
You know what? I'm going to go over.
You say over.
I think he's the type of guy who wants to see the storyline build.
Okay.
Before he opts out.
Wait. There was a storyline?
Before he opts out of something, okay. He wants to see where it's going.
All right, so you would say over.
Over.
I said over as well. Now, the fellow, Pat Egan, actually tweeted out the video that the lovely Donna Cooney took, I believe. Right? Donna took it.
Yeah.
You sitting on your sofa.
Yeah.
And it's the moment that you checked out. Now, I didn't see this video yet. I've only heard about this video. I don't even want you to tell me yet. We're going to have it later in the hour. But you will officially tell us how long you made it into Eurovision.
And let me also put this on you.
Yes.
That the night before, Bob Cooney sat and watched Hamilton. I am becoming a movie whore.
And that's like a 3-hour movie.
Yeah, I, in all honesty, made it halfway past the intermission. I did fall asleep because I was up early golfing, but I do want to see the rest of it. So I think I have about a half hour to go.
I love it. So I watched a movie, but I didn't finish it. But I watched it, but I want to finish it.
But yeah,
I fell asleep during it because it was so good that I want to finish it.
Right.
But it was so good, but you fell asleep?
You don't know my movie history.
No, like,
there's
I know your
none.
Movie history.
I fell asleep not because the movie was bad. I fell asleep out of sheer exhaustion because we had like a 6:30 a.m. tee off time. And
that's just poor planning on your part.
No, it was great round of golf. It was fun. I shot an 88. I played very well.
Hey,
I was proud of myself.
Good for you.
So I was just exhausted, but I thoroughly was enjoying Hamilton when I started dosing.
Now, you and Pat Egan had that in common because you both watched it over the weekend.
I know. We were texting back and forth during it and stuff and sending little hearts and stuff to each other. It's pretty cool.
Yous two are adorable.
We hang out. We go clubbing.
Yeah.
We get together at your friend's smoker.
Okay, that's great. So I've never seen Hamilton. Crystal, have you seen Hamilton?
I haven't. I've been dying to see it.
I know it was all the rage and all that stuff. Still is all the rage. So, you know, whatever. I didn't get a chance to watch it because I was on the road and I was out eating copious amounts of red meat. So I was having myself a good
time. You're a meat eater, after all.
I am a meat eater.
Yes, you are.
By the way, my brother-in-law, I went on the Netflix while he was, like, cooking on the smoker and stuff.
The Netflix.
Yeah. And he's watching Meat Eater.
Oh, is he really? Oh, okay, you got him too, huh?
I got him hooked.
I was meat eater free this weekend.
Oh, Bobby.
Too busy with Hamilton and whatever the hell that movie was that you suggested.
When he told me he was putting ribs on, when he told me he was smoking ribs, I was like, I got to watch a rib episode of Meat Eater, man. I got to get after this just to put myself in the mood a little more. But we had a lovely weekend. Sounds like we all had lovely weekends, so that was that's nice. We got a lot of, like I said, Sixers conversation to get to today. Major League Baseball, I am concerned with. Because, as I alluded to earlier, they didn't have themselves a good weekend.
No.
Whether it's Zach Wheeler talking about how, well, yeah, I'm gonna pitch, but my wife's also due around the same time as opening day, so I'm not really sure how much I'm gonna pitch. Joe Girardi, I give him a lot of credit for, like, how do you not have this standpoint as a manager? Like, Joe Girardi's like, hey, man, it's all about family. So if you're not gonna pitch, I get it. If you don't feel comfortable, I get it. You have a bunch of cases around Major League Baseball of COVID-19. Freddie Freeman of the Atlanta Braves, big name, obviously, on that list. You had Ken Rosenthal tweeting out information about the Oakland A's and the Anaheim Angels. The Los Angeles A's, I always forget. But anyway, those baseball teams, their testers not showing up for tests.
That's kind of a problem.
That's an issue. I will identify that as a problem. And you even have a guy like Sean Doolittle, by the way, for the Washington Nationals.
From Shawnee High School.
Come out, a local product, and come out and even say, what are we doing here? Why are we, why are we playing baseball? Why are sports returning? And I wholeheartedly agree with them. I think it's crazy. But this is the world we live in, and we're doing it anyway. Nothing I can say or do about it to change it. I think it's crazy. I'm going to watch. I'm going to, you know, enjoy especially basketball and hockey and when football comes around and all that. There is a lot to get to when it comes to COVID-19 and sports itself. But Sean Doolittle just kind of laid it all out there on the line. We'll let you hear the comments a little bit later today. But he was like, we don't deserve this as a society, basically. That's what he was getting into. And I don't necessarily disagree with him.
Yeah, we talked about it before. You know, things that we talked about months ago, isn't it funny how it's coming full circle?
Yeah.
It really is. At that time, we were like, oh, we don't know anything. What are we doing? Well, now we know more, and guess what? The more we know isn't necessarily better.
It's not encouraging.
Not really, like, no. And now Aaron Nola is on a list. Mm-hmm. We weren't told he has it or not, but he's on that list. So it looks like he probably tested positive.
Well, don't assume.
He's not allowed to be at workouts for a while.
Joe Girardi said, don't you assume just because a player's not here. Just because I said they're not here doesn't mean that they've tested positive.
And Matt Klintak said that just because someone's on the COVID list doesn't mean they tested positive, but they could have been in contact with someone who tested positive.
Right, or showing symptoms. You have three.
So there's all these things that it's like, we can't say for sure, but... Can we assume?
All right, we're going to announce all three of our questions that we're going to get to today for our Twitter polls. They're all Sixers related here on 7-6 Day. We'll introduce those as well as talk about one of the 76ers that spoke since we were last on the air and his new role with the team. We got Will, we got Jeff. You guys stay right there. Time of the Fanatic on 7-6 Day for the 76ers at 6:22.
Farsetti in the morning.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top five Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
97.5 The Fanatic.
7-6 Day, everybody, as we celebrate our 10-9-8 76ers. I am excited. I mean, it's happening. Sports are returning. That's going on and all that. I am really excited to watch basketball again. I'm just giddy, actually.
Yeah.
They announced the schedule, by the way, for the preseason games, sort of. For the ramp-up games to the ramp-up games, I guess we're calling them that, and that's happening. J.J. Redick had some interesting things to say about them over the weekend. We'll get to those. But as I mentioned, one 76er did address the media. Two, actually, 76ers addressed the media since we last spoke on Friday. Al Horford and Matisse Thybulle. Al Horford, let it be known, and it's not an excuse, but he was dealing with some injury issues.
Yeah.
We weren't that surprised to hear that. He just didn't. I don't think, as I said on Friday, that all of a sudden Al Horford forgot how to play basketball. I just thought he needed to figure out how he was going to run with, well, everyone thought Joel Embiid would be the bigger issue. Ben Simmons became the bigger issue as far as I'm concerned, as far as a good match on the floor for Al Horford. But he also still had to find out how to play next to a guy like Joel Embiid.
Right.
I was really excited for that bully ball thing to happen, and we saw that for like 20 minutes, and then that went away. Al Horford coming off the bench, if he does have that Bobby Jones mentality, and we'll talk to Bobby Jones at 9:30 today, the Sixers can make a nice push here. That's one of the biggest puzzle pieces they have to find a way to fit into this lineup, whether that's coming off the bench or as a starter. Regardless, finding a way for those people like Ben Simmons and Al Horford to coexist, Bobby.
Yeah, and you made a good point, Mark. You were talking about how well he was playing, Al Horford, the last six or so games before this all happened. And probably not coincidentally, it was not long after the All-Star break, after he had about 10 days to just kind of relax his body or whatever. I'm the same as you. I watched him and I just thought, man, are they figuring all this out of how to use him? The ways I envisioned how to use him certainly never came about. Maybe a high-low game or something with he and Joel Embiid, because I think they're both pretty decent ball handlers in that their passing and whatnot. But I wonder if maybe, I think it was halfway through the season, Keith Pompey brought up, either in a story or we might have had him on here, saying, something might be wrong with Al Horford. He never said anything through the season, but Keith somehow got a sniff of it. And sure enough, he said as much on Friday. So the last six games, three games especially, averaged 20 points, 9 rebounds, 6 assists. Maybe Al Horford just needed to get a little more healthy. It might not show right now because he might just be relegated to the backup role to Joel Embiid. His minutes might be lingering around the 15-minute mark if Brett Brown doesn't decide to play the two of them together.
So that's the health issue. All right? I think the other issue, Crystal, has to do with Ben Simmons also being hurt after the All-Star break. And Al Horford getting a little bit more run without Ben Simmons in the lineup.
That has always been the issue. And Al said he was hurt and he's feeling a little bit better with this restart. But even just going back to Al for a second, he has been asked to stretch the floor probably more this year than the entirety of his career. So coming into the system with and having to coexist with a Ben Simmons completely changed up his game. And even before Ben Simmons pinched that nerve in his back, anytime he was not on the floor with Ben Simmons, you would see him do things that we saw him do on the Celtics. Take it straight up, take it to the rack, get more aggressive, not always stretching the floor. So coexisting with Ben has been one of the biggest issues for him. He's obviously going to have to do that again because Ben said he's feeling better than he did than when the season started. So it's really just a wait and see situation.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to see how it works out. And that was the odd thing with Al Horford, watching him try to stretch the floor as much as he was. And, like, the amount of threes he was taking this year, and Bob pointed out the numbers before, it was, like, triple whatever like his previous high was in his career.
Exactly, and that's coaching. Because, obviously, everyone cannot exist in the post. Ben Simmons, Joel Embiid, on top of his conditioning, Al Horford will just be another big body all that length and mess up the flow of your two young superstars. So, that comes down to coaching. And, obviously, it goes beyond coaching, too. I love Elton Brand, but it goes down to the original sin of the 2019-2020 season, which is surrounding Ben and Joe with what they already have, which is length opposed to shooting.
Exactly. Yeah, I like that. The original sin. It's good. All is forgiven, hopefully. Let's get to Will in Virginia. What's up, Will?
Hey, Mark. Good morning, brother.
Morning, man.
I want to give a shout out. I know Bob, Crystal. Good morning to y'all also.
Good morning, Will.
I appreciate it, man. I heard some violations with putting barbecue in the oven.
Ooh.
That's a violation?
No.
I gotta call everybody out. That's a major violation. put barbecue in the oven to finish it off.
See, I disagree with that. And, part of my reasoning for doing that is it keeps everything warm if you're cooking other things. And you don't just use the warming rack on the grill. I love the warming rack, but I don't want cold ribs.
I love you. I love you. I got something else for you. It's called a smoker.
I don't have one.
You got to get one. Like, Lowe's got like $100 off on a smoker. You and Bob got to get one. Digital. It's beautiful. You put it in a smoker. Ooh.
Until I can get one, I got to keep it warm in the oven. I don't know.
I feel you. So let's get down to it real quick. I'm calling y'all from Moses country. Okay? I'm 10 minutes from where Moses Malone, went to high school, one of the greatest Sixers of all time. I know
Petersburg High School.
Yes, sir. I know one of my aunts played with him, so, I'm coming to y'all real. So, when, I'm a person, I'm pretty well connected, with the game, and Bob, I know you wrote for it for so many years, and I appreciate everything that you've done, right? I struggle with, you know, the Sixers coming out of COVID a little bit, right? And I say that because, you know, we know what Ben can do. Ben is like magic, right, to me. And Joel is like Kareem. But who is James Worthy?
Well, you would hope it'd be Tobias Harris.
We would hope it'd be Tobias Harris, but is it Al Horford? So we go down here with all these crazy different variables that are going into this bubble, right? That you got this team that, you know, honestly, without Kawhi Leonard potentially hitting this greatest shot of NBA history, that the Sixers in their finals next year with a chance to win the championship. All right, you lost Jimmy, right? Jimmy was big, right? We go down here, we got Joel, we got Embiid, we got Josh Richardson, we got Shake, and we got Thibault, all these different guys, right? And I've had arguments with different guys, but because I've coached at the Wild World of Sports, right? These rims is totally different. Floor is going to come in. But defense wins championships. It's going to be totally crazy. The question is, you know, can these guys, you know, can everybody stay healthy? Can they not go off the reservation? If they can't, everybody says, you know, the 76ers can get to the finals. In my opinion, you know, I think the Sixers with Brett Brown, who's groomed them and been there since the beginning, potentially to win the NBA championship. Ooh.
Ooh. Well, do you think he can?
I believe, you know, the funny thing is, because I've heard Brett get beat up, right?
Yeah.
With Philly fans for years, right? But he's helped groom these dudes. He's been buying by their side, and they trust this guy. You know, they trust the staff. And, you know, I just struggle a little bit without Jimmy, right? Because I believe Jimmy was the X factor. And I just heard something about, it was new news to me, about Chief Pompey and, you know, what Bob said about Al being healthy. Now, I know Al, 6 degrees of separation, have a close relationship with Bob, I mean, with his head coach from college, who also coaches Oklahoma City Thunder. I know that Horford's about their life. I know that he got it. So if what? He's healthy.
About that life?
It's about that life, man. He's a winner.
Oh, yeah. That, well, thanks for the call. Appreciate it. He is a winner. I think he is. I'd like for him to be a winner here. He certainly was in college. I think we know that. Been a multi all-star, all that stuff. I just need to see him fit. I mean, this Sixers team might be a poster child for teams that just need to figure out how it all fits together. Like, I have no doubt there's talent on this team, a lot of talent on this team. The puzzle pieces for the first, I don't know, three quarters of the season didn't fit.
I'll go back to, I don't think it's that hard. I don't.
I agree. Yeah.
Like, how many times in the NBA have we talked about a team just not fitting?
Mm-hmm.
Never. Like, not really. That's up to the coach. It's schematically, I didn't understand Brett's system at all this year. I don't know what it is. Give me a look. I said it a million times. I'll say it again. You give me a guy, a bunch of good players, we'll figure it out. It shouldn't be this hard. It really shouldn't. I understand you have something that's such an anomaly of a point guard that won't shoot the basketball. I understand that. But that's okay. You can play to his strengths of nobody being able to stop him off the dribble. That's all right. You should be able to figure this out. Basketball is still a game that's not that hard. The overthinking of and I'm not putting down analytics. There's absolutely a role for analytics in sports. But the overthinking of just getting talent together and playing is baffling to me with this group. You have a group of really good players. It shouldn't be that hard to figure it out. Mm-hmm. It really shouldn't.
Especially, Crystal, when it's this obvious. And like it just seems so obvious. Like, you can't have three players with the main goal to attack the rim. You know what I mean? And that's why Al Horford is like defaulting to this three-point shooting.
I think Al Horford could be a winner if he was used properly.
Mm-hmm.
If he was used how he was used on the Celtics, it would be a totally different look right now. But who does that hurt? It hurts Ben Simmons. And Bob, I totally get your point and agree with your point that it shouldn't have to be this hard. But if Ben Simmons is coming down in a half court setting, and he sees Joe in the paint, and he sees Al Horford in the paint. His inclination, he's a great passer, he's going to pass the ball, but in the half court, I think he's going to be completely taken out of his element. We know he's not great in the half court, and he has done some things from time to time, but I think that's what Brett Brown is trying to avoid, Ben Simmons being completely taken out of the half court element and only having to rely on his in transition game, which, you know, maybe a steal in transition or something like that. But I think that Al Horford being used outside his role is both hurting and helping the Sixers. It's hurting because he could do better. It's helping because I don't think Ben Simmons can do better if he's in more of a traditional role.
Yeah, they don't fit. Like, but the other thing that might help them fit together also in that starting lineup without Al Horford, especially with Ben just going to the basket or not wanting to shoot in that half-court set that you were talking about, to talk about that problem for a second, is Shake Milton. Having someone to defer to that's such a good combo guard, and look, I'm not making him an all-star, but talk about fit, he might be the perfect piece that can fit into this puzzle. And that might be the biggest difference. The fact that you could have Al Horford coming off the bench for you, so you won't have things clogged up down low or anybody trying to attack the basket too much. And then at the same time, you could also have someone in the half court set for Ben Simmons to defer to. And that's what he did have for the most part in Jimmy Butler when Jimmy Butler was here. Not that Shake Milton is at all Jimmy Butler, not to make that comparison, but just in terms of having somebody to fit that puzzle piece. That's where, Bob, I think it could work out the best.
Yeah, it could. And you know, this whole thing of Ben Simmons can either take it to the basket or he can't shoot a jump shot. Well, there's other ways to get around it. You know, you can pass and move away and go to the weak side of a court and have something happen on the weak side. Now, there's only 24 seconds in an NBA shot clock, which we all know, and you can't just continually run like a flex or a motion offense where everybody's moving and try to find something off of that. But you can work a half-court offense a lot better than the way the Sixers do, where it's a pass to Embiid and you cut off of him and then look and four guys stand around. I mean, if we sat here and broke down film of the Sixers offensively, half-court offense, that's what it is. It's a pass and four guys are standing around.
Yeah.
You never, ever see weak side movement from the Sixers. I dare anybody in the NBA to try to cover a Ben Simmons coming off of a weak side pick, as I was talking about last week. Him in motion going to the basket. Now, granted, it's going to the basket once again, but if he's on the weak side, he's not clogging a lane. Like, there are ways that you can implement an offense with him in the half court. Not saying every time it has to happen, but there are ways to do it. A half court offense of dump and stand, yeah, that doesn't look good, especially with the personnel that you have gathered on this team.
Are you calling for off-ball movement?
Could you imagine that?
This never happens. You might save Brett Brown's job alone just by that.
Yeah, I must have said it 1,000 times on this show, Crystal, that his offense just totally, totally baffles me. And they are at their best when they're moving. When the ball's moving, which is something that Brett always says he wants the ball to move, he wants guys to make decisions in a half a second of what they're going to do with the ball, either pass, shoot, or drive. You just don't see it. And it gets really stale when you don't.
Well, it makes me go back to last year against the Nets. Jared Dudley came out and ripped Ben Simmons for his half court, and he disappears in the half court set. And like, a lot of people were pissed off about that, but at the same time, people were like, oh, he's kind of right. It definitely happens.
Wow, you're
disappear.
A pro Jared Dudley guy.
I'm not a pro Jared Dudley guy, but
you
most
love
people,
Jared Dudley.
On Summer of 76 Day, you come on this radio station talking pro Jared Dudley talk.
Now, is that what we're calling it, Summer of 76 Day?
Summer 76 Day. Look, I'm wearing a Philly shirt.
Thank you, Pat. But like we all knew he wasn't wrong. He wasn't terribly wrong, and it was something that Ben Simmons needs to improve on. I don't like the people that look at Ben Simmons right now and say this is what he'll be for the rest of his career. Like, I think he came into the league pretty damn good, and I think he will continue to get better. I do think, maybe not now, maybe not even next season, the jump shot will come around, and we've certainly talked about that enough. However, just his style of play, I think, will improve, and his confidence in that jump shot will improve, and he'll become overall better player. My issue was, that might be what he is now, but that snapshot is not one that I think will last throughout his entire career. He will improve in his overall game. Is that crazy to think about, that a player might actually improve? A 23-year-old player could actually get better at basketball?
Yes, he is young, and he will hopefully improve. I'm sure he will. He even said he gained more muscle going into the restart. Now, I just think it's funny, as you talk about improvement, the Sixers have posted a couple hype videos of players and their individual workouts, like for kind of Korkmaz, I thought was really good, threw an oop to himself for a dunk. Ben Simmons, his hype video? a slow-mo at the foul line.
Yeah, so that was
released. Working on getting better.
Okay, so yeah, you're referring to the ones that are actually released by the team, I believe, right?
That's right.
Okay, Furkan Korkmaz, I will admit, I was like, ooh, Furky. Furky getting up there. All right. And then, no, I'm just saying.
Anytime
he's 6'7". I hope he can dunk.
Yeah, anytime we're leading off highlight videos with Furkan Korkmaz, we should probably check our expectations at the door.
No, I'm just...
check yourself.
Here's the change of this when the season resumes and all that stuff. Furkan Korkmaz, Shake Milton.
The year is 2048, and we're still trying to convince ourselves that Furkan Korkmaz is a really good basketball player.
Now here's... I will say this. I've given Korkmaz a lot of crap on Sixers Outsiders on NBC Sports Philadelphia, and mm-hmm. that's not really his fault. It's more of the organizational issues. Again, their original sin of the season of not shooting them with surrounding Ben and Joe with shooters and hoping that they can just develop shooters around them. They always depend mm-hmm. on developing players, which is not the best protocol when you need shooting. However, with Korkmaz, he did some things that surprised us this season. You know, he's pretty much a catch and shoot type of player, but he's been working on some things on his dribble drive. And a lot of times it was a dribble drive Euro step or a lay-in or a dribble drive to a floater. But in that video, what I was thinking is if he could get more of this in his game, which is a transition dunk or even a half court dribble drive to a slam. And of course, he has to put on a little more weight for that. That would help deflect some of the attention off of Ben Simmons and him not shooting and allow him to have some more help in transition and in the half court. Catch and shoot.
I got change the subject to two different things real quick. One, Pat, I love what you're doing on social media and everything, but is it really necessary to say that my favorite player now is Jared Dudley and put that out on Twitter for people? Is that necessary? Is it necessary?
No.
I appreciate your hustle, and I appreciate the dedication you have to our social media accounts, but I don't really feel like, because people will look at that on Twitter and believe it.
I'll put a disclaimer. I'll say, just kidding.
Put an asterisk on it.
I'll try to find a gif of Jared Dudley saying, just kidding. I just wasn't expecting all the Jared Dudley love before Bob, 7 a.m.
This is what you get with him.
This is you.
That's why I have a love-hate relationship with him. I love to hate him.
In fairness, Sixers Day starts at 7 a.m. So when
Jared Dudley Day is 6 to 7.
This is your Hamilton buddy, Bob. This is your Hamilton buddy, Bob.
Yeah, I loved him this weekend. And then I come to work and I hate him all over again.
Is that whole thing a rap? Is the whole play a rap?
It pretty much is. Yeah.
The music part is hip-hop.
Oh, really? Is that what it does?
I use that term very loosely.
Oh, it's very, very entertaining.
If anyone knows
it's hip-hop for my 58-year-old mother who lives in the burbs.
It's like hip-hop.
Who's like, I like hip-hop. I have the Hamilton soundtrack, Patty.
Is it like...
Patty? Does she call you Patty?
Yeah. Oh, yeah, Patty. I got the... Did you see Hamilton?
Is that a Midwest accent?
Yeah, I know, really.
Wisconsin?
She's not from the area.
Is she a big Packer fan?
She does ask me all the time, why does my accent sound like I'm from Wisconsin?
Where is she from?
No personal questions. Upstate New York.
Rochester?
No.
Because Rochester people have those...
Rochester.
Yeah. She's from Ithaca, so that's where Cornell is.
Oh, yeah.
Thank you.
Well, a lot of people don't know.
Oh, that's a good
It's
point.
Not exactly a known town. It's podunk.
I will just say that the Rochester people, the Buffalo people, they have that Great Lakes kind of... influence, obviously, of the accent, the Midwest accent, very, very heavily. Anyway, so the Hamilton friends and all that fun stuff.
She calls you Patty?
Yeah.
Yeah?
That's cute.
Does she really?
Yeah.
That is adorable.
Yeah.
I can get her on the phone if you want.
All right.
Nah, we're good.
Your mom called Friday. I can have my mom call today. We can add it to the list.
Where is this person from? 610.
Stacked list of guests we have.
All right.
Get my mom to call you, be a miracle.
Why do you make me laugh at that? Now I'm a jerk if I find that funny. But you made the joke, so it is funny.
I made the joke. It's all right.
So anyway.
You would have enjoyed Butch.
I would have loved Butchie. But the other thing here is that it was a subject change here. We're going to get back to basketball in a second. The NFLPA Board of Governors has recommended canceling all of the NFL preseason.
Yeah.
They've already been like, Hall of Fame game done.
And then they canceled the first and the fourth.
Yeah.
Leaving the 2 and 3.
Correct. Yeah. The middle two games are going to stick or were going to stick. And then the NFLPA is like, probably shouldn't play any preseason games. Which, if I'm a player, I'm fine with that.
Yeah.
But if I'm the guy that's got to run everything, including the game, but also everything else around the game, whether that's fans, if they're allowed in the stadium, whether that's any type of concessions, whether that's the guys that are going to be the security, having players come in, like all game day operations, basically. I want there to be two dress rehearsals.
Yeah.
And Bob, that's been your point the whole time. And when I saw this come up, I was like, are they actually going? Now, this is per sources. Our old friend Adam Schefter, excuse me, Dan Graziano putting this out on ESPN, saying that the NFLPA, the Players Association, is saying thanks, but no thanks to preseason games in its entirety.
If they agree to it, to me, it says no fans.
Yeah. Exactly.
Yeah, because they, yeah. you can put on a football game without the outside, things that you have, meaning fans, meaning concessions, like you said, Mark. If they don't have a dress rehearsal on how to get fans in there and how to keep fans apart and where you're going to sit them and all of that stuff, I don't think that they're going to be able to just say, here's a game, we'll allow 30,000 fans to come on in. Not that easy. You know, we'll allow concessions, but here's how you do it. No, you need all your workers to go through a dress rehearsal.
Mm-hmm.
So if that's agreed upon that there's going to be no preseason games, I strongly believe that means there's not going to be any fans at NFL games.
That is true, but we are talking about the NFL, which is probably the most arrogant major league sport out there.
The NFL?
Yes, for sure.
Yeah, they've gone on this whole time. I mean, the running joke has been basically like, well, virus? What virus? Like, they have just had business as usual. Oh, we can't have a draft in person? No problem. Put it on Zoom, and we'll be good to go. That's kind of how they've... And you know what? I actually give them credit for it, because they've done what everybody has done. They've adjusted. They've done what everybody has had to do throughout this time.
With time on their side to see how the NFL, the NBA, and other leagues work.
1,000%. But now when they, you know, have already canceled the Hall of Fame game, and now that they're thinking about canceling any dress rehearsal, that does mean, exactly, there's no fans.
Because
then there's nothing to prepare for, other than just player safety, which is something you could go through on your own time. But the minute you have to prepare for other people coming into the stadium, to the point where you might have to have them sign a waiver?
As a logical thinker, I agree with you. But I don't think the NFL will operate in a logical way.
See,
I think the arrogance will take over.
See, I think that's why it is logical, though. I think if the NFL wants to have fans there, they want to have them there in a way they know they can protect them to the best of their ability. Whether that's a waiver, which only protects them, doesn't even protect the fans, or that's the social distancing in the crowd, where they would have the people seated, how many people they would allow in the stadium. There's got to be some kind of dry run before you might open it up to anybody from the public.
Yeah.
610-632-0975, 610-632-0975. When we come back, we find out the question that everyone was mulling over the weekend. How much of Eurovision could Bob Cooney stand? That's when we return. Oh, and also, we'll jump into all our Twitter poll questions today revolving around the 76ers. Time of the Fanatic is 6:52.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.